Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 67. This is Dave.
This is Josh.
What?
No, I'm kidding. This is Ethan.
Wow. And joining us from Quick Stop Entertainment, writer of the Trailer Park column, this is Chris Stipp here. How you doing, sir?
Doing fine. Doing fine. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. And Barry is, I think, on his way back from Maui either today or tomorrow, which means he'll be recovered from jet lag by next week, so he should be back. And I think Josh is like skipping the show in this Oscar so he can do a back-to-back marathon of Madea Goes to Jail.
Whoa.
Or something.
41 million. How many people can be wrong with that amount of money?
41 million?
41 million for the weekend.
That's just wrong.
Number two coming in at 11 million.
Oh, damn.
It was not even close this weekend.
Well, okay then. I'm speechless. Okay, let's just move on to what did we all watch this week?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me do this because I don't want to. I won't add comments to it. I'll just go down the list because I was off last week on an unpaid furlough vacation from Gannett. Thank you, big company. And I'll just run down the list. Documentary called Helvetica that ran on PBS. The Lee Atwater story, which was a frontline piece also on PBS, a documentary called IOUSA, which ran on CNN, got replayed, High School Musical 3, Crank, Taking Chance, which was on HBO and still playing. And I think the number one thing that I saw last week was a great new series on Adult Swim called Delocated.
You had a busy time.
I did. I caught up. I caught up. There's nothing on my TiVo now. It's completely clean.
Fair enough. Wow. That is an accomplishment to clear out a TiVo.
Yeah.
Ethan, what about you, sir?
Yeah, I watched a lot of stuff this week. I had the week off, so just lots of movies and TV. But I watched Stalker, the Andrei Tarkovsky film. Nobody? Okay.
No. Sorry. Tell us about it, sir.
It's a Barry movie, but it's a science fiction film from the Russian auteur Andrei Tarkovsky, and it's like a 3 hour long movie, and it's very mind bending, I'll say it that way, and visually stunning, and it's a movie you really have to think during, and I think it was flat out incredible, and I want to say I could recommend it to everybody, but it's definitely not going to be everybody's cup of tea. But still, if you're a film fan, definitely check it out.
If you're a Gilliam guy, is this a good one to go for?
It's even more out there.
Okay. Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah. Also watched Half Nelson.
Interesting movie, huh?
Yeah. Ryan Gosling, obviously, he was amazing in it. So, yeah, great performance from him. I also watched Bug. Which I thought was awesome, really. I loved it. I thought the performances by Michael Shannon and Ashley Judd were terrific, and I thought it was so disturbing yet so funny at the same time, and it kept my interest throughout the entire thing. So, yeah, it was awesome.
I need to revisit it because I've only seen it once, and that was at the end of a very long trip in L.A., at the ArcLight, and there's actually Ashley Judd and who directed it? Why am I?
Friedkin.
Yes. William Friedkin. Yeah, William Friedkin were in attendance, and that was really interesting. But I fell asleep for like 10 or 20 minutes and woke up and what the hell? So I need to revisit it. Although it was interesting, it's well worth checking out for sure.
Yeah, I also watched U2 Rattle and Hum, which I'd say when the music, like when it's the music, when it's the concert stuff, it's awesome, obviously. But I wasn't as crazy about the actual interviews in the movie. But still, you know, if you're a U2 fan, haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out. And I also finally last thing I watched was the Dawn of the Dead remake.
I'm sorry, I mean
the one with Zack Snyder one.
Yeah.
And?
What do you mean you're sorry? What are you talking about,
dude? Well, I'll let Ethan give his opinion before I bring up my issues. What did you think?
I've seen it before, but it was like 5 years ago or something, but I think it's really good. It's definitely, I think, a lot better than it should have been. Like, a Dawn of the Dead remake directed by a guy who did, like, yogurt commercials should have, like, sucked in, like, concept, but, you know, it's pretty good. But at times, this thing I noticed, maybe I'm just more film literate now than the first time I saw it, but it really is, it does feel like at times, like, it feels like a video game at times. Maybe it's just because of the influx of games lately, like Left 4 Dead, and what was that other one? There was like a zombie game. It was in a mall. Do you guys remember what that was?
Oh, Dead Rising.
Dead Rising, yes. Maybe it was just that, but at times it felt like a first person shooter with zombies, but still it is pretty good, I think. And I think I now have a bit of a crush on Sarah Polley. So
fair enough. I have one glaring issue with the movie that made it lose me for the entire film. And that would be after what's her name comes back from killing the zombies and washes her hands off in the little pool, and Ving Rhames gets a cut and falls in the same pool with the zombie blood and doesn't turn into a zombie. It's kind of a glaring plot hole.
Hmm. I don't think I noticed that. So you're smarter than me, obviously.
Either that, or I just didn't want to like it anyway. I'm not sure.
If you want to take this to a logical conclusion, would it be that because the zombie didn't bite him, it wouldn't be like rabies because that's what it is?
I don't know.
It
just really irked me that they never even addressed it. When they go to the point of showing her washing her hands off and then showing him cut his arm as he falls into the pool, it's like, and you're not going to have a payoff for this? Really? It irked me.
That's when you just have to sort of turn that off in your head.
I know.
Yeah, no. The logic portion of that.
Yeah, my bad. Ethan, did you catch anything else?
No, that's all.
Okay, I guess it's back to me. I had the unfortunate opportunity of watching Spike Lee's Miracle at St. Anna. Misstep is the first word that comes to mind when I think of this film for Spike Lee. It's ugly. It's meandering. I found myself wondering why he couldn't find a better story to tell. I can understand wanting to do like an African-American version of like Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers or something, but the story sucked. It could have been at least an hour shorter. And the performance were bad. I mean, when you got some guy representing thug life during World War II, I just have a problem with that.
Dave, have you listened to the Film Junk review of it?
I have not. I need to. I've heard it's pretty epic.
Listen to it. It's so good.
Are they along the same lines?
Yeah, and Jay does just such a good job of making fun of it. It's great.
Ooh, good.
Yeah. Well played. I like those guys. I like those guys a lot.
They do an awesome show. Absolutely. Film Junk, they set a very high bar that someday maybe we can try to reach. I don't know. Now, here's the thing. I watched Band of Brothers in chunks. I mean, Band of Brothers. See, that's my problem. Which could be taken very badly. Miracle at St. Anna I saw in chunks because I just... 45 minutes, but I had to shut it off. So I watched Office Space in between clips. I played some Gears of War 2. And then I watched the new DC animated film Wonder Woman that's coming out, I think, a week from Tuesday. And I think it's the best one that they've done yet. It is pretty balls-out action. It's got Nathan Fillion as like the heroic love interest, and it's just really good.
Woo, Nathan Fillion.
Yes, it is good. Wait, so.
Back to Miracle at St. Anna. What do you think it is that Ben Lyons saw in it that made it his ninth favorite film of 2008.
An aneurysm?
Well, Ben Lyons, something I've noticed by watching him and reading his opinions is that he clearly wants to be black, so that might have something to do with it.
Wow. Okay, you went there. Dang, sir. But to Ben Lyons' credit, at least he hated the Day the Earth Stood Still remake. That's all I got to say. Oh, that's the other thing I saw. Yeah, I saw the Day the Earth Stood Still remake, and that blew some chunks, too. Have either of you guys seen it?
No.
No, I don't want to put myself through that.
Yeah, don't. This is one of those friends don't let friends do something. This is one of those things. Don't do this. It's just not worth the pain that you have to endure. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Oh. Effects were awful. When Jennifer Connelly is on the screen and I'm bored... That's a problem.
Something's wrong, yeah.
Right.
How was Jaden Smith, though?
Oh, good God. I've never wanted a kid character to die so bad in my entire life.
Well, now they're doing the Smith Family Robinson. if the news is to be believed, that they're doing a remake of that movie using the Smith family.
If it ends with them all getting with like if it being like the Lost Island and they all get killed by a creature or something, I'm okay with it.
It'd be nice. God never answered my calls to kill Dakota Fanning in any movie yet, so I doubt this one's going to go answered.
I mean, there's the annoying kid in movies. I mean, seriously, ratcheted it up to 11. I've never seen someone this annoying, this self-involved, this selfish, this I don't want to listen to anyone. Yeah, I'm like, this is the next Karate Kid? Really? Oh, no, I'm done. you know, he showed some promise, at least, in Pursuit of Happiness. But that's all been flushed. If I could retroactively add a movie to my two movies to my worst of 08 list, those would be the two: Miracle at St. Anna and Day Theater Stood Still. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters this week. We've briefly touched on Tyler Perry's $41 million opening, Madea Goes to Jail, and then Fired Up. I'm guessing no one saw Fired Up.
I got nothing for you.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the one clip that Sony Pictures put up on their Twitter for Fired Up, and I just was so thoroughly unimpressed, I've blanked it off of my entire consciousness.
Yeah. Well, at least I know it's weird about the movie. They have like a 32-year-old guy playing a high school student. So,
see, that'd be okay. I'd love to see a movie full of people like that if it was, you know, done right, but this just looked awful. And I'm sure we all saw Madea Goes to Jail.
Woo, midnight showing.
That hurts.
Got dressed up as Madea, and I,
Wow, so it's like Robert Downey crossed with Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
I think the big point of this movie, the fact that Fired Up made only like $6 million on a budget of $20 million, is that Madea's average per screen. You know, you got like, I think the highest, second highest is Coraline with about 5,000. Madea Goes to Jail averaged about $20,000 per screen.
Holy crap.
Well,
I don't know.
I just wanted to bring this up, but a Tyler Perry movie has yet to open in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Like come out in theaters or do well in Canada?
Like they haven't come out in theaters at all. In fact, I don't even think they're on DVD here.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's just a cultural thing?
Well, yeah, let's just say at least where I live, there's about as many black guys as North Dakota, so.
Fair enough. That's a very unique way to put that, sir, and I thank you for that. All right, let's move on to what's hitting on DVD this Tuesday. We've got Futurama, Into the Wild Green Yonder. Akira is being released on Blu-ray in its glorious remastered goodness. Sex Drive in rated and unrated editions. What Just Happened with Robert De Niro. The Last House on the Left, an unrated cut of the 1972 film. And Pirates 2, Stagnetti's Revenge. Yep, it's that Pirates movie.
Maybe that's what Josh is doing.
Oh, he found a bootleg of it and is watching it?
Yeah.
On repeat?
Over and over.
Yeah, he's seeing if he can actually wear out a DVD. Sorry, that was... No, that was funny. I'm proud of that one. Yeah, I think Futurama and Akira are probably the big picks of the week.
I saw Sex Drive, and I'll be first in line to get that one. Made me laugh when I saw it.
Okay. I'll put it in the queue.
I liked it a lot.
I will put it in the queue, sir. Based
people
off
should.
Of your
I think at the very least, people should at least run out and rent it. I'm never big on telling anybody to buy anything, but it's a movie definitely worth renting.
Cool.
That's hard because comedy is subjective. You know, it's one of those things. It's not like uniformly, you know, if a drama is good, it's comedy is almost like a perfume. And it's like some people just will not see it, you know, just won't react to it in the same way.
Very true. Very true. It is such an odd beast. Some people will laugh at something a ton and then other people will laugh at the happening. So, yeah.
All right.
Let's go ahead and move into some news. We're just cruising through this stuff, which is quite okay, because I'm sure we all have Oscar preparations to make. Okay, so we're all going to sit around in our boxers and watch it. That's beside the point, though. At our respective houses, not together. Okay. Figured that was a point that needed to be made, perhaps.
We can do that next year.
Wow. Yeah, and do a video cast.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
Prisons. Yeah, I think they'll do well.
Oh, no one wants that. No one. All right, I'll start off the news. The Inglourious Basterds posters have hit. And, you know, it doesn't do anything except make me want to see the movie more at this point.
Yeah, it looked pretty sweet.
It looked pretty good.
Even though they'll show you a darn thing, still, the one with the knife going through the swastika flag was, that's my favorite by far.
Yeah.
It's minimal, you know, it's I know there's a whole to do with, you know, posters and their creation, but these ones were, you know, thankfully, you know, not a whole lot going on in them. It's not like Band of Brothers where everyone they can get is crammed onto the front. Obviously, somebody probably wanted Brad Pitt front and center, but I'm glad they demurred to this.
Well, someone should have taken those exact posters and just, like, photoshopped Brad Pitt's head over them or something.
Do a floating head.
Floating head.
Wow. Wow. What I like is the fact that, yes, they are minimalistic, but they kind of give you a sense of exactly what you're in for.
Correct.
Just because all of them have some amount of blood on them, which is just awesome.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yes, yes. Ethan, I know you got some stuff, too.
You guys also those Wolverine TV spots?
I did.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah.
Well, except thank you to Slash Film for pointing out that line in the first one where I forget who says he was like, he wasn't your father, son.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they're trying to build too much into it more than it needs to be.
Yeah, the kid playing young Wolverine just looks pathetic. Maybe that's just me, but...
Yeah, it looks like another what's his name from the first Star Wars?
Jake Lloyd.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't. I was like, I was not compelled in any way to, you know, it wasn't dramatic. You know, did nothing for me.
Yeah, I get the distinct feeling that the origin stuff is everyone's going to go just hear blah blah wah, 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 you know, and get to the killing already. I was happy with Deadpool's line, just even though it was one word, it was still delivered beautifully. And even though I didn't know this movie was going to suck, it just further cemented I have to see it opening weekend.
And already it might be setting up. I mean, the way they're talking about Ryan Reynolds and what happens if he upstages Hugh Jackman and everyone else. What if he's like the best thing about the whole movie? You know, I know Hugh plays it pretty straightforward, but, you know, Ryan seems to, you know... I know a lot of people just think he's pretty boy, but he's a very good actor, and he might, you know, his sensibility might actually play better than everyone else's sort of, you know, straightforward, you know, we're serious about this.
Well, it also helps that he's pretty obsessed with the character too. Like he wants to do a series about this character, which couldn't make me happier because he couldn't find someone better to play him.
No, he's perfect.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful, but yeah, the spots haven't been all that encouraging.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
I'm just like trying to find the nice way to put that. Keeping in the posters realm, have you seen the Dr. Parnassus posters?
Yeah.
They don't show much. Oh, you haven't seen them? Hang on.
No, I haven't seen them.
It just so happens I have a link here that I can just send you. So, haha. And thanks to the joys of technology, we were able to pause and I was able to send Chris the thing. So what was your reaction, Chris?
Yeah, meh, like, okay, I guess. I mean, obviously the Koreans kind of, you know, at least I think it's Korean, it's at least some Asian language kind of, you know, obscuring some things, but, you know, I think what a poster should do, it's sort of tease and figure out what something's about. If I'm looking at this poster, it looks like this is like a vaudeville play. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting, and not a very interesting one at that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, the first image showing all the new cast members was kind of cool. Like, I like seeing that with, you know, like Johnny Depp and Jude Law and Colin Farrell in character. That was cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what ends up. We'll have to see as more information comes out. I'm hopeful just because it's Gilliam, and I'm always happy when new Gilliam comes out.
True. I haven't gotten over Time Bandits. That still scarred me from when I was a kid.
In a good or bad way, I forget.
A good way. Very good way. Very good way.
Cool. Ethan?
You guys saw the Funny People trailer?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually kind of want to see this movie now.
Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah. It seems like a pretty good movie.
I'm more a little bit in shock that it's the second straight Seth Rogen movie that I actually want to see. I haven't quite gotten over that fact yet.
Well, it's just because now he's skinnier, so now you're more attracted to him.
Oh, okay. That what?
I'm just kidding.
That kind of hurt. Let's see. I only got one news bit left, and that would be... Okay, so Battlestar Galactica, the Sci-Fi Channel show, is in its final season. It's the final few episodes. So what are they going to do? They're going to make a Battlestar Galactica movie. Of course, it would make too much sense for them to make one based off this series, so apparently they're going to try to remake the 1978 TV show as a movie? This just doesn't make any sense.
Could they do like a Starsky and Hutch with it and make it like a comedy and have like Jack Black and Paul Rudd in it or something?
You know, have you seen the original show at all, Ethan?
No.
It actually plays a lot lighter than what the new sci-fi show does, which I know you haven't seen either, but you probably
Dirk Benedict.
Yeah. You had Face Man in it, so that by definition pretty much makes it a lighter film.
The Face Man.
Yes. Maybe he'll get a cameo in this one and be less upset than he was about this last version. Yeah. Just leaving it alone. Ethan, what's your last one?
You guys saw the S Darko trailer?
After the teaser, I kind of avoided it.
Yeah, I agree with Dave. I heard about it, and I don't want it to ruin. It's kind of like, I don't want it to ruin what I liked about the original Donnie Darko.
Well, yeah, it looks like utter garbage. But the thing is, you know, Donnie Darko isn't one of my favorite movies because of the time travel stuff. It's one of my favorite movies because of the emotional resonance of it, and I just don't think this is going to have that at all.
You mean straight to DVD can't have emotional resonance?
In this case, not so much. Bambi 2 is pretty sad.
I was thinking of the old Bambi 2. My bad. That's the one where he's prancing around in the field and Godzilla stomps on him.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's like a minute and a half. Yeah, I'd be okay with. Yeah, I... Does this story really need to be told? I think that's really the question that comes down to.
Yeah, no. I don't think it does.
It doesn't, but some suit somewhere in Beverly Hills thought it would be a great idea.
Yeah, the thing is, like, Richard Kelly has no control over this, which sucks.
Yeah, like, that's very true. So it doesn't even really have a chance of really being good. The story was so unique and so one-offish that there's just really... Especially since the sister isn't even related to him. That's what's like, but she has the same powers. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all kind of tired today. I'm getting that feeling.
It's just kind of a weak for news.
It absolutely is. Yes. Yes. So that's all right. That's just to leave us more time to bare our souls and confess the crappy movies that we actually like. That's right. We're talking guilty pleasures, but we're going to take a quick break first. And stick around and you can make fun of us later. We'll be right back.
Get your geek on in a Geek Label t-shirt. Shirts for gamers, geeks, and tech heads. If you like games, movies, computers, or comics, we've got your new t-shirt waiting for you. Let Geek Label change your life. You can go from...
Oh, hell no.
To...
Oh, hell yeah!
In the blink of a t-shirt! And the best part, every design is available in all kinds of silky, smooth colors and shirt styles. Short and long sleeve tees, and for the ladies, ringers, raglans, ladies tees, even spaghetti strap tees. Feel fly, walk tall, be irresistible to the opposite sex.
Died, even we can't do all that.
Hundreds of designs and they're all off the hook, yo. You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest. Cause that's how we roll. Get your geek on at Geek Label. That's one word, geeklabel.com.
Hi, this is Anne Lockhart and you're listening to Screen Geeks Radio.
I had to do that because it's the Battlestar Galactica connection. And announced is, what's her name? Katie Sackhoff's coming to Starfest, so we might get to talk to her, too.
Ooh.
Yes, that could be a good time. Quite a good time, indeed. Just because we're all going to Casa Bonita for no other reason.
Just can't help but think of that South Park episode.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right, so before we get back into doing our string of episodes about filmmakers and their parts of their filmography and whatever... Ethan had a great idea for an episode that we haven't done here at Screen Geeks. And it's always fun to revisit, especially with two people who haven't had their input in the past. And that would be us talking about our favorite guilty pleasures. And I kind of put this into two categories. One's that one is the guilty pleasures that you try to defend as a good movie. Does anyone actually have any of those?
I think I do.
I think I have a couple. I have two.
Well, I will let you guys kick it off before we get to the stuff that just we're afraid to tell people that we actually like.
Okay, one is Southland Tales, which I think, you know, it's far from a perfect movie, but it's such a thematically interesting and ambitious film with some really just amazing scenes, I think, like the Justin Timberlake killer scene, or even just the end sequence and stuff like that. And there's a lot to admire of this film. Yeah, it's kind of terrible in some ways, but it really is an interesting film, and I think it's worth watching overall. You know, you have to be adventurous, but definitely I think it's also relevant, and you know, just I like it, but I wouldn't, yeah, I have to kind of be a little guilty about it because of the way most people feel about it. So yeah,
Chris, I will kick it to you for one, sir.
I think this is one I'd fall in the category of really bad films that I'll defend as a pretty good film, at least in my eyes anyway, would be Men at Work, that 1990 classic from.
Wait, is this
Emilio.
The band Men at Work?
No, absolutely not. This is the seminal Emilio Estevez classic.
Isn't Emilio Estevez and Martin and Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen, the both of them are in there. We have Chainsaw from Summer School. You have just a great cast of characters in a movie that is admittedly just horrid. You know, simple little film, but I keep watching it, and I still like watching it for its golf claps. It's shoot him in the butt with a pellet gun. It's obnoxious and. You know, and there's no way to really ever defend this film. But you know, if we are talking guilty pleasures, then you know it's best not to overthink these things. And that is definitely one that I love to rewatch again and again.
Okay, I'll go to one that we've discussed a couple of times, but still I think it bears mentioning, especially in this case, Ang Lee's Hulk.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a really interesting movie.
It is. What I liked about it. It's not a success as a film. I will even admit that as a fan of the movie. What Ang Lee tried to do, though, I think, was really deserves a lot of credit. And actually, you know, I applaud him for trying to really bring a lot more, you know, almost Shakespearean levels to this story. And I and a lot of people are like, not enough Hulk smash, but the storyline was so compelling as far as I was concerned that I really dug it. I liked the fact, you know, it's a case in point of something that was not successful, but I really admired. Was how he tried to frame when he'd go to a different shot as a comic book panels.
Oh, that was cool, I thought.
It wasn't successful, but it was really unique, really innovative, and you know, I really appreciate it. Is it the greatest film ever? No, but I don't think it deserves half the crap that it actually gets.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, if it weren't, it's frustrating because I do think a lot of the psychological things in the movie are interesting, but just when he has those Hulk poodles or like
totally.
Nick Nolte like being the super moon monster or whatever he turned into the movie. Like, I think that last 15 minutes of that movie is just so bad that it just really ruins it.
And I can respect that. I just think that enough people let that get bogged down that they don't even pay attention or are willing to admit the good stuff that is in it. So that's why I think that's what's caused a lot of support to come out for this movie, was because, yes, it wasn't a success. No one's saying this was the best movie of all time. But dang it, there's good stuff in there.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. So I'll give it back to you, Ethan.
One that I don't think this is a great movie, but I just don't think it really deserves the crap it gets is actually Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
You're on your own.
Thing is, well, I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's really has more interest, like Ang Lee's Hulk. It just more has its own interesting moments, and admittedly, this is more interesting in its technical areas. Like, I think the costumes are great, and I think the sets are great, and the makeup is great. But you know, it's clear, I don't think Tim Burton was given really enough time to develop the story and, like, kind of get a feel, put his real stamp on it. But I do think, I don't see why people hate it that much. Well, I guess, you know, the ending is pretty bad. But
I was going to say, it really does correspond in a bit ways to the Hulk, is that the ending killed the movie in many ways.
Yeah.
And such a big deal is made up about, you know, Marky Mark kissing someone in monkey makeup. I'm like, really?
Though I just realized something. That really is Mark Wahlberg Talks to Animals, the movie.
Well played, sir. Wow. Okay. Chris? If it's all stuff that you're just going to be ashamed to say, we can move on to that too, but...
No, absolutely not. I think this one, I could try to find a leg to stand on, although it'd be pretty hard. My vote for The Lake House, which came out in 2006. I really thought this was a great sort of chick flick. I think it was, you know, in that realm, in that genre. I think it was smart for what it was, and I still enjoy watching it. There's a lot of issues going on besides, Keanu and Sandra trying to come together, and they spend the whole movie apart. I mean, this is a great romantic, romantic movie without them ever coming on screen, except for the small dance sequence, which was to the tune of a Paul McCartney song, which was done very well, and unfortunately it got no love at the box office, and it certainly didn't get any love critically, and I'm at a loss to find out why. Plus it sort of melded some sci-fi elements into it too, so
yeah. I was just gonna say I love science fiction, so would I get a kick out of it? Or
I think so. I mean it's not, there's nothing scientific about it, but these people are able to communicate over, you know, these long stretches of time through their mailbox, and it's just this one premise you have to buy into, and it's that, you know, which obviously it's obviously absurd, but you know, if you can at least believe, you know, their logic, then it makes for just a great movie. And like I said, I don't have a lot of legs to stand on this, but I really, really enjoy this film.
Well, and I haven't seen it, but it seems, just from how you're describing it, it's kind of like giving you that one thing that you have to believe in, kind of like what Frequency did. But it didn't catch near as much crap.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I'll wow. I've brought one to Frequency. My next one on my list is a Dennis Quaid movie, and that would be Dennis Quaid's The Rookie.
Never seen it.
I don't think that was really that panned, was it?
It amongst geeks, it essentially what comes out is it's a G-rated Disney movie. I want nothing to do with it. That's what I've come across. I'm guessing I'm alone in this. Okay. have either of you guys seen it at all?
No, I have not seen it. I have not seen it.
You know, it's one of these movies about, you know, a sports guy, a guy trying to make it in sports pretty much. But instead of him dropping to the depths of even the musical biopics like, you know, Walk the Line or Ray, it's just a guy trying to grind it out and make it through life. And Dennis Quaid is just so freaking likable in it. It's a solid movie, that like a G-rated movie geared towards adults, and it didn't suck. But the fact that it was a G-rated movie geared towards adults got it a lot of hate among people just saying, I'm not even going to bother. So, yeah, I guess I'll just leave it there. Okay. Ethan, back to you, sir.
Wait, is Face Off considered a guilty pleasure?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Because I actually think it has like a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, but honestly, watching it, I can't understand how that happened. Even though I enjoy it a lot.
Well, I think you could just consider like, that.
That movie, but I...
If you were to bring it into cinema circles and start talking about it, the kind of look that you would get, I think that's where I defined where I'd put these things.
Like, I mean, it literally is the most ridiculous premise of all time, but it is so fun. And like, Nicolas Cage before he gets his face switched with John Travolta. He's so like amazingly at the on Facebook when I first joined, I had the photo of him like making the big O face as my profile picture.
I remember that.
And there's him, and there's Tip, like, when he's like, suck tongues and stuff. He's like, it's so funny.
Wow.
And, you know, it's pretty, cinematography is pretty cool in it, stuff like that, so.
Fair enough. Chris, back to you, sir.
My last one that I could actually defend, I think anything else here, I think I wouldn't be able to defend any of them. but the only other one I could defend is the Bad Boys Part 1, 1995. I love this film. I saw it on TV a couple of nights ago. It was on, and I just sat there and watched it. You are witnessing the birth of Michael Bay. Before this, all he was doing was, and I'm looking at his IMDb, he was doing some Meatloaf music videos, some Great White music videos, and a Playboy video centerfold Carrie Kendall video. So this one really began his career anyway. And you can see where a lot of the elements that we see today with, you know, Transformers 2, where all these things got their start. So for me, this one really, I like it. It's just one of those good action movies that you could watch again and again, just for the sheer enjoyment of it. I mean, you literally, you know, unplug your brain and just sit down and watch. So I really like it.
Well, I do enjoy it too, but things I actually don't really see it as an action movie. I see it more as a comedy.
I could see that. I'm thinking about the elements at the end, a lot of the explosions. Or at least where he fell in love with the idea of it, you know, things exploding.
Michael Bay likes seeing things explode?
What's that?
Michael Bay likes seeing things explode?
I know. Imagine that.
Who would have thunk it?
Well put, sir. You know what? You bringing up Michael Bay made me think of a Michael Bay movie, too. Because, generally speaking, especially among, you know, the movie geek circles, Michael Bay is kind of like just crapped all over all the time. But if you look at The Rock, it's such a solid action movie all the way through. It's not asking you to believe anything that's just too far out there. It just says, hey, we have this really bad chemical weapon. So just believe that. And everything else is just, you know, pretty much people killing each other and lots of explosions. And it's my favorite Michael Bay movie by a long shot.
Yeah, I love The Rock. I don't think it's really considered a guilt. Like, I think it's genuine. Like, critics liked it, I think. I think it's genuinely considered a good movie.
I'm just putting it in terms of all the hate that Michael Bay has been getting lately. If you say that you like anything Michael Bay, to some extent, some people will, you know, take away some cred from you in their mind. So maybe I'm just wrong. Dang it. It's okay. The last one on my list is going to be a doozy. So have you got any other ones, Ethan?
No, not really. Everything else I feel incredibly guilty about.
Okay. I can't believe I'm going to defend Shyamalan. Actually, I was going to joke and say Indiana Jones 4, but I just couldn't do that with a straight face. But Lady in the Water, this is a movie that's pretty universally hated. And I don't think it quite deserves all the hate that it gets, because this isn't the same kind of movie that he's made all along ever since, before and after, actually. It's a movie that he made as a fairy tale, as an Alice in Wonderland, as a Wizard of Oz type thing. Wow, but it doesn't belong in that group at all. Let me just be clear with that first. But the movie is definitely a lot more of a fantasy element in it, even though it's based in the real world theoretically. And I think a lot of people weren't able to get past that and actually see the charm of the film that there was in there. And there was a lot of charm to be had. There's a lot to hate, don't get me wrong. But I think it deserves a lot more credit than it actually gets.
Well, the thing is, I remember enjoying it. Like, when I first watched it, I gave it like 3 out of 4, a positive score. But I just think it's why I enjoyed it so much is because I was laughing so much during it. And now kind of thinking about it, was that Shyamalan's intention for me to laugh so much?
He definitely put more comedy into the movie, but I'm guessing you laughed more than what was supposed to be funny.
Certainly laughed. There was like those Asian neighbors, I think.
Oh, the ladies? Yes.
Yeah, I laughed at pretty much everything they said. And when the film critic, you know, when he was about to be eaten by the dog or something, he went in that big monologue about...
Yes, about why he wasn't going to die.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny too.
Absolutely, yeah. And those were scenes that were supposed to be funny. And yeah. There's a lot of heart behind that movie. In some ways, I think it's the most emotionally honest movie that he's made by a long shot. It's got the truest emotional core, and it's probably the most heartfelt is probably the best way I can put it. Then he did The Happening, which kind of led everyone to say, well, The Lady in the Water sucked too. So, yeah. There we go. All right, shall we get into the ugly side of things?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start off this time. I'm going to start off with a Michael Crawford movie. And this was in the 80s. I don't know if this is the 80, early 80s or late 70s, but Condor Man. I don't know if you ever saw this, Chris.
I have not seen it, but I know I've seen the VHS box cover.
Oh my gosh. It's Michael Crawford as a superhero who can fly, but he has like giant, literally like, you know, like 15, 20 foot span condor wings that he expands out with handles and stuff. It is one of the stupidest movies ever, but it's just so much fun. You're going to hear a lot of superhero movies on my list. I'm just warning you. Like, if you want to see something that's just goofy and stupid and fun, I'd say get Condor Man, but the last time I checked, the DVD is going for like $150 on eBay, so good luck finding it. I'm going to go to Ethan now.
Actually, just mentioning that made me think of one, I need to write down, but Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls.
Really?
I have to hang up. I cannot be on the same podcast as someone who finds anything about that movie redemptible.
Well, the thing is, I actually haven't seen it since I was like a little kid, but Dave just mentioned that scene from Condor Man just made me think of the scene where like Jim Carrey like comes out of the rhino.
Oh, God, the rhino.
That's the only sight you've seen that anyone ever actually remembers from that movie.
See, like, I think that movie's probably, like, terrible, and I haven't seen it in probably, like, 10 years, but I just really enjoyed that scene, so I thought I should bring it up.
Okay. Dang.
So I guess I should mention a real guilty pleasure.
Okay.
Chris, you mentioned the first one earlier, but Bad Boys 2.
I have not seen that. I have not seen the follow-up.
Well, the thing is, you know, this Bad Boys 2 makes Bad Boys 1 look like my dinner with Andre. Let me just put it that way. In terms of scope and action, it's just, okay, Bad Boys 2 is a flat-out misogynistic, racist, and homophobic movie, but it's so much fun. But probably a scene that just sums up the movie's bad taste is when they're having a car chase and they throw... There's an ambulance that they're chasing, some like when the bad guys stole an ambulance truck, and they take dead bodies from the truck, they throw it on their Will Smith and Martin Lawrence's car as they're driving to
so there were multiple bodies in this ambulance?
Yeah, and they're like, they have all these corpses and they're just throwing them at them. It's just, it's like the most, I can't believe there's something that was in such bad taste filmed like that, but it's just, you have to admire it, you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Wow. That means I might just have to watch it based off that.
Yeah, and there's the classic line, this shit just got real, obviously.
Oh, yes, from Hot Fuzz, yes. Fair enough. Cool. All right, Chris, I'm going to leave it to you, sir.
All right, I have just five movies to go on my list, but I'm going to group three of them right now. And I call this the Jean-Claude Van Damme trifecta of Hard Target, Bloodsport, and Cyborg. All three of these films I will defend with an aluminum bat to anybody who says otherwise, but I remember them as a kid. These were my entree into martial arts, bad martial arts movies, and you can't go wrong with any of these three. I mean, they showcase the muscles from Brussels ballerina skills, and it's I can't defend them morally on any ground whatsoever. But every time I can watch them, I own them. I paid money for them to have them in my collection, and I love them to death. And there's not a one thing that I can say otherwise, other than they're great films, and I love them dearly for the reason that, again, like I was saying, it was, at least when I was a kid, it was pretty cool seeing a guy just kick ass as hard as he was.
Well, Wilford Brimley is in Hard Target, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, wow. He is an ogre. Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds is in Bloodsport.
That, you know, that's really impressive, sir. I got to say, I'm wondering how many of these are going to be in the 80s. I'm just kind of getting that feeling. I'm just going to put that out there. The first one on my list is Iron Eagle. I don't know if anyone's seen that movie. I don't even know what the kid's name was, but Louis Gossett Jr. is in it. And I remember it as the first R-rated movie my folks ever took me to or let me watch. And it's just so cheesy. It's about, I mean, you know, because of course a 16-year-old kid's going to be able to, you know, allowed to be to fly F-16s by the Army. That's totally going to be cool. And the music in there, like ranging from the Twisted Sister to all this, just really, it's an awful, awful, awful movie that I would never tell anyone to watch unless you want to watch a craptastic 80s flick. But it's so much fun.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
All right, Ethan, off to you, sir.
Another one, Mission Impossible 2. This is a movie I admire for its ridiculousness. Like, just that whole the thing, you know, with the face masks. That's just so overdone in the movie. Becomes, like, it reaches the point of self-parody, but it's just so fun. And when they have that big motorcycle chase where they're going towards each other and they jump off their motorcycles and hug in midair, it's so fun.
Hug in midair, there you go.
Anybody who is a fan and willing to revisit that movie will notice that... And that scene where they're driving after one of you, you know, driving toward one another, the traction on the tires change. Like they go, like their wheels change.
Really?
Yes, it changes from street tires to sand tires. So they could have done that scene. Yes, it's blatant, and it's one of those things that I even caught in the theater. It's reprehensible. It's so stupid. Like, really? You just, that's the magic of movie making, you know. Hey, we're gonna switch the tires, nobody's gonna notice.
And the thing is, I think the numbers 1 and 3 are actually like genuinely good movies, but 2 is just in a league of its own.
True.
Fair enough. All right, Chris.
I'm not gonna make this one long because there's nothing positive I can say about it. I just like it, and I'm just going to admit it. Bring It On with Kirsten Dunst. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
You know, I think we all need to have at least one of those passes where it's just like, dude, I'm going to put it out there. Just leave it alone, please.
I'm being honest. I'm being open. I watch it, and it doesn't offend me. So it does not. I don't know why it should. It should absolutely. I should make fun of it and make fun of anybody who really likes it. But that's all I'm going to say.
Just tell me you weren't able to follow The Rock's quote of it and be cool.
What does he say and be cool?
He does some monologue from his acting monologue was a 2-person monologue from Bring It On.
I don't remember that. Okay. But if he did do it, I would probably laugh and go, oh, I understand.
Fair enough. All right. So I said that I was going to be talking about a few comic book movies, and I can't believe I'm going to, especially with how much Barry craps all over this movie every time he mentions it. Like when you talk about bad comic book movies, this is his exhibit A. But Captain America. I don't know if you ever saw this, Chris.
Wow. No, I have not.
You know what? I actually think I've seen that.
The one where the Red Skull is like played by a guy doing his best Bela Lugosi impersonation?
Yeah, because I think there's a point where when I was a kid and I just rent movies if it had like someone recognizable. And it was like, oh, Captain America, you know, I like that character.
And so I rented it. I can defend this to a point because I was a stupid kid in junior high and there were no comic book movies at all. And I was big time into comic books, period. And my dad grew up, you know, reading a lot of comic books. We're like, hey, it's a comic book movie. Let's watch it. You know, and so for some reason, it still has a soft spot in my heart, as awful as it is. I mean, seriously, the Red Skull really does do his best Bela Lugosi impersonation. And that's just awful and bad. And the effects are awful. There's nothing really good or positive to say about this movie, except that, you know, I still kind of like it.
Yeah.
Did that just break your brain, Chris?
No, but I know exactly what you mean. I understand.
Ethan.
Here's one, a Schwartzy one. How about, actually, I'm going to do two Schwartzy ones. First one is probably, you know, I probably at least have, this has some fans, but Commando.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So many good one-liners. Oh.
Oh, yeah, right before he shoves the pipe in the guy's stomach.
Yeah, and off some steam, Bennett.
Yeah.
Excuse my friend, he's dead tired. Yeah. But my next Schwartzy one is this one, not as popular, but End of Days.
Oh, okay.
It's so stupid, but it's so much fun. And have you ever seen it, Dave?
I have not.
Or Chris?
I have not seen it, no.
No, but there's a scene where he has to find the female lead in the film, her name is Christine York. Get it, Christ in New York, right? But
wow,
he doesn't know. Like he can't find out who she. Yes, he's trying to find who she is, right? So he's like, there's this point where they see this guy. He scratches in Christ in New York on his stomach, right? And everyone's like, oh, what does this mean? What does this mean? And he's like, well, maybe he's talking about a person like Chris York or Christine York or something, and the girl's name is Christine York. It's just so ridiculous. And to say, of course, Arnold Lee battles a big CGI Satan at the end, and it's so much fun.
Wow. Okay. I've got an Arnie one, but I'm going to save it as my final for a double feature. Wow, that was still well done, sir. Chris, have you got one more, or are you done?
I've got one more and I'm done.
Okay.
It's another twofer. And again, this is, I think I've brought it up on previous podcasts, but I'll bring it up here now. It's both having to do with the popularity of BMX biking in the 80s. And one of them is Rad and the other one is BMX Bandits, which shows a Nicole Kidman, kind of like her Michael Jackson days with the big hair and the big nose. And it looks nothing like the current Nicole Kidman. It is out there. I'm only going to say that it's available for anyone to view, if you know where to look. and it's definitely worth looking for, and observing both these films. I mean, you get Lori Loughlin in the other, and some, Bart Connors, like someone from the gym, 1984 gym team, Olympic gym team is on this, in that movie, Tyler Shire. Both these movies are incredibly wretched and bad and stupid and mindless, but they kind of embody why I like bad movies so much sometimes, is that it's good to get away from the movies that make you think and feel to ones that you just look at and kind of drool at.
So, okay, you've brought up the biking movies from the 80s. Did you ever see Quicksilver?
I don't think
it's a Kevin Bacon movie.
No, I did not.
It's like a bicycle racing movie. I never saw it. I just remember being a kid and like, ooh, it's Kevin Bacon and he's a biker. You know, little did I know he's like doing like a 10 speed as opposed to like BMX biking, but I was a stupid
kid. I know exactly
kid.
Which one you're talking about. I remember seeing that box cover too.
Yes, yes. I never saw it, but you know, I'm not going to bring up Breakin' or Breakin' 2. I just can't do that. And I've seen them both, and that, you know, those movies hurt. And not in a good way. You know what? How many have you got left, Ethan?
I got one more.
Okay. I'll do my double feature, because it was going to be a single feature, but then Ethan brought up Arnie. And what's a guilty pleasures list without an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? And, you know, to go along with The Marine, because The Marine is the greatest bad film ever made, Collateral Damage.
Oh, that?
Come on, he's a firefighter that goes like on the rampage in the Amazon.
I just remember watching it and thinking it was really boring, to be honest.
Oh, it's incredibly stupid, and it works so well in conjunction with The Marine, because it just, any kind of reason or semblance of reality just gets thrown out the window within about the first 10 minutes. And it's just so much fun. It's so bad. I mean, like, it's almost a Man Apart painful bad, but it's Arnie delivering these lines, so it's hilarious. Yeah. And then you have The Marine, you know, because Al-Qaeda has a base in the middle of the Middle East, like an actual military base. And it's John Cena. Come on. That's, you know, with how much love we give this movie, it can't not be on my guilty pleasures list.
Oh, I just love that scene of Robert Patrick walking in slow motion. It's like 5 minutes of him just like walking to a convenience store, but it's all in slow motion. So
it's such a good movie. I need to watch that again soon. I think I actually have it on DVD somewhere. Okay. Ethan, what is your final?
This is just a big lump together category, but Roland Emmerich movies.
Okay.
Besides 10,000 BC and Godzilla, those were really bad, but it definitely Independence Day, The Patriot, and The Day for Tomorrow were such big guilty pleasures. They're so ridiculous and stupid, but you just can't help but be won over by them, you know what I mean?
Oh, I love The Patriot and Independence Day. They're good. They're fun movies.
Yeah, the Patriot just has that infamous scene of a guy getting his head blown off by a cannonball.
It was like a water balloon that they put in there and just popped it.
But what's the essence of this guy? What scene from his movie that strikes me as his essence is a scene in The Day After Tomorrow where Jake Gyllenhaal outruns freezing air. It's just so good that he's getting there. It's like, shut the door.
Because shutting the door is going to make everything okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good high note from everyone to go out on.
It's like, run faster, the air is gaining on you.
It would be funny as if Marky Mark started running next to him.
Yeah.
That's the only way that scene could have been better. All right. Well, you know, I want to hear, please, listeners, I want to hear what your guilty pleasures are, because I'm sure we've missed some out there. There are some real gems. And there's something about a good guilty pleasure that's always great about a Friday night or a Saturday night, having friends over, you know, whatever. So shoot us an email. Let us know. Hit us a podcast, Ethan, Josh, or Dave, or even Barry at ScreenGeeks.com. You have to. I love always hearing what some people's guilty pleasures are. But before we close out, we've got some theatrical movies coming next week. Wow. These could be some potential guilty pleasures. We've got Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience. Why?
Barry will see that.
Dude. You're never going to let him live down the Hannah Montana thing, are you?
No.
Fair enough. Coming up next, Kristen Kruick playing a Chinese woman. Okay. Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. I don't know of anyone who thinks this is going to be good.
It looks so good.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. It looks terrible. You saw those clips? Do you see those clips of it?
No. I've seen the posters, and I know who she's supposed to play, and that's been enough for me.
Oh, Chris Klein. Oh, that guy. He's so bad.
So bad that you have to watch the clips?
Almost, yeah, it's just he's almost like a Will Ferrell spoof almost when he's going on in his monologue. He has this like monologue about the character of Bison. It is like a Will Ferrell in a Saturday Night Live skit.
Ooh, okay. I have a feeling this is going to be one I'm going to have to watch on DVD. Kind of just like I need to watch Dead or Alive at some point. Why not?
Yeah.
And then limited release, we have Assassination of a High School President, which has been getting some positive words. So I'm hoping that's good as well. And on DVD, we have Australia. Yeah.
Australia. Sorry.
That's okay. I have it. I need to watch it. Before passing judgment, I will watch it. Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Oh. Okay. Wonder Woman is coming out from DC Animated. It's going to be a 1 and 2 disc set. I am buying the 2 disc the day it comes out. Seriously, like if you like any of the DC animation stuff, you need to check this out. It's just hella good. Then we've got Watchmen, the complete motion comic. Have you guys watched any of these?
No. The first chapter is on YouTube, and it was kind of weird because there's like one guy doing all the voices.
Yeah, and I don't want to know how a guy does Silk Spectre, really.
Yeah, it was really weird.
But yeah, it sounds like essentially like an audio novel just put to comics. The comic panels that they kind of put in motion. I don't know. I might rent it from Netflix or something. And then we've got a double dose of 80s. I don't know if it's goodness, but of 80s stuff. We've got My Two Dads Season 1. Did you ever watch this, Chris?
You know, I did not. There's one episode which I thought was hilarious. I think they're trying to show their daughter the effects of drunk driving, and they play pole position. And at one point, the daughter gets all freaked out because he crashes the car in pole position and then grabs his real keys to walk out. Like, oh my god! Yeah, it was pretty awful melodrama. not on par with the Jesse Spano "I'm So Excited," but close.
I'm now gonna have to rent that DVD and pull it as a drop just cause. You know, bringing up the special, very special episodes. Did you ever watch the episode of Happy Days where Richie got drunk?
No.
Oh, he got smashed off his arse. And what I loved about it was it actually didn't play it too seriously. At the end of it, I mean, he's just drunk as a skunk. And, you know, Dad's taking him to bed. And he's like, you know, Dad, I'm just so glad. I can't wait to just get a good night's sleep and feel all better in the morning. And the look that Tom Bosley gives him. He's like, son, you're about to experience a hangover. He didn't say it, but just it's such a beautiful delivery. It actually made it very funny, as, you know, supposed to be funny, as opposed to the special episodes of Blossom and My Two Dads and Full House and everything else that you ever see.
What about Different Strokes, the bicycle shop owner episode?
Oh, my gosh.
They showed him Fritz the cat. I'm pretty sure that's what that was supposed to be, right?
Yeah, it's some kind of porn.
Yeah, that was... Oh, so wrong. Especially when you think about the fact, never mind, I'm leaving it alone. Okay. Just bringing into account, you know, Gary Coleman's probable actual age when that was made. My bad.
Right.
Okay. And then we have Smurfs Volume 1 for everyone who wants to kill somebody after watching a cartoon.
Yay.
I don't know why I watched this as a kid.
There's nothing else on?
I guess. No. You know, in the 80s, there were Saturday morning cartoons starting at like 6 in the morning on all three networks going till noon. So I don't know. Maybe it was like Rainbow Bright or something was on the other station. So I watched. Never mind. Okay. And then finally, we have a crap title of the week. You know, this kind of loops in with Ethan's guilty pleasure list. We have Ace Ventura Jr. Pet Detective.
Okay, no. I don't want to be associated with that. I just enjoy the rhino scene.
Have you seen the trailer for this at all?
I tried to avoid it.
It looks bad. This truly is a crap title of the week. No one should ever buy this, ever. Just the trailer is enough. When you have people trying to say, hey, he's a very talented young man, and you see him doing what he's doing, you're like... Dude, no, complete and utter garbage and crap, and yeah, ugh. Anyhow, let's go ahead and wrap it up from here. Chris, what have you got coming up over at Trailer Park?
I have an interview with Vanessa Shaw from Two Lovers fame. People might know that from the Joaquin Phoenix weird interview with Dave Letterman that because they shouldn't be feeling anything other than pity for a guy who's just trying to play the part of some crazy guy because he's not really crazy at all because Casey Affleck is chasing around with the camera interview, in which I hope to at least extend Jeffrey Wells' 5 minutes of internet notoriety by, you know, just a little bit.
By being a skeezy perv?
Yeah, I ask her what it was like to have some internet guy ask for her nudie pictures. So I have that coming up. And some other things are coming up on the horizon. Thank God that we're out of Oscar season because now things are really starting to crank back up again.
Absolutely. You know, just to make a quick aside, you brought up the Joaquin Phoenix thing. I asked you on Twitter, and I don't know if we want to discuss a little bit more. This is very much like an Andy Kaufman type stunt. Do either of you think Andy Kaufman could pull what he did back then today?
Well, Andy Kaufman had a reputation, right, for being that way. And Joaquin Phoenix obviously doesn't, so I don't think that he could, really.
And I would say no, for the reason I gave you, Dave, was that I think because we're such a plugged-in culture now with, you know, reality TV and sort of gotcha sort of journalism where people are faking to elicit some kind of response, that I think people are a little bit more cynical about things that happen in the public. I think people are a little bit more suspicious when things happen now. So I don't think... I don't think you could. I think when you went back, if you look back about that if you read the documentary or watch the documentary on that whole moment in time, you can see how Pitch Perfect this was, but I don't think you'd be able to pull it off today.
Fair enough. I think one very crucial difference is that Andy Kaufman was much, I hate to say this, he was a better actor about this. He was far more committed to doing this.
Joaquin looks pretty committed.
I don't know. If you watch some of the interviews and see that he keeps cracking smiles through it, it's like...
Yeah, he keeps smiling. You know, like, oh, look at me. I'm not really going to smile. But, you know, he kind of is. It's not... it's pretty bad.
But I agree with Chris. I don't think you could get away with it unless you became a complete shut-in, which I don't know. Yeah, it's just kind of interesting, an interesting footnote in all this going on. And yeah, I can't wait to read that interview, Chris.
That's going
to be quite interesting. So join us next week. Barry and Josh should be back. And who knows who will have what we're talking about. I sure don't, so hopefully I'll have to figure it out by next Sunday. But until then, this is Dave.
This is Ethan.
And this is Chris.
Take it easy, everyone.